Welcome to the November 12th Reparations Commission meeting. I think it's lit. Okay, so I would like to call the meeting to order.
Roll call. Commissioner Bazile excused. Commissioner Berry. Okay. Commissioner Burleson excused. Commissioner Dones.
Here.
Commissioner Gardner.
Here.
Commissioner Gore.
Here.
Commissioner Herskin. Here. Commissioner Knowles. Commissioner McClendon.
Here.
Commissioner Sass.
Here.
Commissioner Small.
Here.
Commissioner Triplett excused. Commissioner Varlack excused. We have a quorum.
Thank you. I see Commissioner Gardner, who's online. You have your hand up. Did you want to speak now, or can I go through the agenda a bit more?
I just wanted to let you know I was here.
Yes, thank you.
I put my hand down.
Okay, now I'd like to move to any public comments.
I have no speakers for public comment.
Thank you. And now I'd like to go to approval of the minutes. If someone could make a motion to approve the October 8th minutes.
I shall motion to approve the minutes.
Moved. Moved by Second. Commissioner Bass, seconded by
Dones. If
can they online?
No.
In the room. Okay.
So, okay.
Seconded in the room by Herskin. Thank you, Commissioner Dones.
For approval of the minutes, Commissioner Berry, Commissioner Dones.
Aye.
Commissioner Gardner.
Abstain.
Commissioner Gore.
Aye.
Commissioner Herskin. Commissioner Knowles. Commissioner McClendon.
Aye.
Commissioner Sass.
Aye.
Commissioner Small.
Aye.
The minutes are approved for October the 8th.
Seven. Yes. Okay, now we, item five is where our project management consultant, the Exceptional Community Connections, provides an update. I believe there is a handout, that's the large tablet here. And I would open, if we could promote, if Letitia is ready. If we could
I'm
promote.
Here. Hi, can you all hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay, I'm in my Lyft car. I just landed in St. Louis. I'm gonna turn my camera off.
Yeah, you can turn your camera off.
So I can walk us through the handout. I know Sean was planning on attending as well, but I'm happy to walk through just the recap of where the subcommittees are back in late September, and now we're in November. So do you all have the handout in front of you or handy? Yes. I can't tell.
Yes, we have. Okay. We have a copy of the handout in front of us.
Awesome. So what I'm going to do is allow you all a couple minutes to take a look at it and to just open up the floor for any questions that you all have. This is an opportunity to just seek clarity. What I will highlight while you all are reviewing is that there has been a tremendous amount of work accomplished by this commission. So I wanna cheer loud and proud from Missouri, my hometown, and all the great work that you all are doing. A very hardworking commission. I do believe this subcommittee structure, it's not perfect, but it is definitely positioning you all to accomplish many of the tasks that we discussed back in January, as well as discovering new tasks, and also just the teamwork that you all are exhibiting and supporting each other to get these done. So just looking alone at the October category, so how this reads is from right to left, right? You have each subcommittee and the subcommittee's core objective, and then the following column going to, you're right, are the key tasks. And these are the key tasks that we focused on for your subcommittee. There's many other tasks and things that have been accomplished, in addition to these key tasks, but these were the tasks that were highlighted from your implementation plan. Excuse me, can you turn it down? Can you turn it down? I'm sorry. I mean, my car is kind of loud. Thank you. Then you have October milestones. So looking at the October milestones, these are all the tasks and the milestones that you all accomplished just between the months of September and October. So these tasks and milestones are complete. When you look over to your November steps, well, it should be November tasks and milestones, you have still just about every subcommittee have at least, I think it's 4 to 5 tasks or more, depending on your subcommittee. So these are the tasks that we're going to be working with each of the subcommittee chairs in ensuring that you all are clear and have a game plan for getting these accomplished. And so I'm going to pause here for just thoughts, questions, or reactions.
I will open up to the floor if any subcommittee members want to add some color to the work that's been going on, how the work is going. I'm welcoming Commissioner Barlack to the meeting. It'd be great if we could hear from some commissioners who are on a subcommittee and how the work is going and the milestones, et cetera.
Hello, Commissioner Barlack. I was wondering if we should start with administration and budget. I can report out if need be.
Yeah, no, it's fine. we are reviewing the EEC just reviewed the worksheet, so I'm just asking if anybody wants to add how your committee work is going. It's not necessarily a complete readout, just supporting what the
sure.
group has been doing.
I was just happy we were able to launch our social media platform. So forgive me, I was late. Traffic was very tough, but we were able to support our social media platforms getting started. We did start our LinkedIn page today, so it is up and live, and we got a few followers already. So we're now on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, and we're growing every day. We've had some paid ads inviting people to come to our listening session on the 15th. And just today, we received the flyer for the December 6th listening session. So we're going to actually pump that out as a sneak preview, probably starting Saturday at our session. And what else am I missing with admin, I think?
I'm going to do the budget stuff.
Okay. There. Then I will defer to Vice Chair McClendon for the rest of the admin and budget.
Just to add to this and... Commissioner McClendon, just to add to that, thanking ECC for all of their support and help. We've been organizing the vendor flow, invoices, scopes of work, things like that. Playing a little catch up, but really trying to organize the workflow with the goals of making sure that we have maximum energy and vendors and merch and stuff like that. You will hear a little later. As we approach Black History Month, so.
Well, as far as the listening sessions were.
Commissioner Berry and then Commissioner Sack.
Yeah, Commissioner Berry, just wanted to also reflect on just the level of pride in our website. We started with a very basic form website and now have an extremely customized site complete with a custom build for RSVPs right on the site. And now that we have that update on LinkedIn, we're going to have a social wall put up for you, so it'll draw in everything we're posting from social as well. So we've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that site. So keep the recommendations and suggestions coming.
Commissioner Sass, I was saying the listening sessions are moving forward. We have still, as I say, looking for confirming the other locations and a couple of other ones that have come through. But we have one this weekend, and we'll make any of the updates that we've done, and we'll keep moving forward and making sure we get better every time.
Other comments by other commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Hurston.
This is Shanita Hurston. So on the deliverable or the task for gather additional community partnership commitments via the ACRC partnerships form, is that form online? And okay, so it's online. And are we required to, is it a process to like submit it in advance?
That's a great partner. Great question, Commissioner Hurston. So we do have a link. We, Team ECC, Sean, Natrice, and myself, we have, there is a Google form that we could most certainly share with you, and we probably should upload it to SharePoint. It's just a link, and it goes along with like a little email spiel, an email blurb, like, thank you so much for your interest in partnering with the ACRC. Please fill out this link to this Google form. And then it walks the partner through options for connecting with you all, whether if they want to host space or support with outreach. So most certainly, if you don't have that, we can send that out following. We can send that out by Friday so that everybody has it.
That would be great. Thank you.
No problem. I'm wondering if Commissioner Varlag want to share any insights from the DAR subcommittee, which is a new subcommittee from your implementation plan, relatively.
Sure. Thank you. No, it's been great. We've been working with Informing Change to learn about the data that we've collected so far. So I want to really thank and appreciate Commissioner Small for collecting our in-person surveys, which we do have a good amount of those. And so we've started to collect those, get those categorized. And we've also met and discussed the ways of getting out a new survey that's going to go to folks who may not make it into our listening sessions, because our sample size we hope to get is 400 people. So right now we're hovering around the 30 to 40 submission level. So we're going to be amping that up. So just in the next couple of weeks, we should be having the next survey ready to get out to the general public. And it's been really helpful just to meet and talk about our processes. So we've been working with the four pillars that we've identified. And the first one that we're going to be focusing on is wealth dissolution and how to empower people moving forward. So that'll be next on our agenda.
Thank you. Any other commissioners want to make a comment? Okay, I would just lift up for the public that as we start to promote the listening sessions, it's on multiple platforms. So you heard the Commissioner Varlag share that, you know, the Instagram is fairly new. LinkedIn is brand spanking new. Our website, you can go to the website. It's been posted on the website for several weeks. And then the supervisors, there are two supervisors who are actively promoting. And so if you are in the newsletters for the supervisors, you'll have access to it too. So I would just ask the public, if you have one favorite source, you might want to check on, especially the website is the most up to date. So you don't miss anything. It's my understanding that, you know, some of them are a little slower and folks have not been able to have access. So just multiple checkpoints for receiving the information on the future listening sessions. So thank you.
One question, Commissioner Sass. On the website or on the social media, is it possible to, on the LinkedIn and all the other platforms, to drive them with a comment or action comment saying for completed updated information, drive them to the website? Or put just a comment like that on there?
Doesn't the QR code send you to the website?
Yes, it does, but you're saying the other sites like LinkedIn and other things might not be as updated. So always check the website. If they're on LinkedIn, there's a note that says, hey, check the website for make sure for everything current. if you're on Instagram, it says check the website for current, just to make sure they have another reminder to go to the website for current information if there's something different.
Thank you. Anything else, Leticia? I think we've reported out most of the work being done.
Yeah, no, I didn't know if you had anything else, Chair Gore, or any other commissioners, any requests from ECC team. If not, thank you so much again for allowing us to be on this journey with you all.
Thank you to ECC too. The project management has allowed us to get all these things accomplished. Okay, so that moves us to item number 6, which is the November listening session. There's a couple of big action items that have just surfaced today that we needed logistically. I know we had a listening session, but now we have some new logistics that would love to tighten the run of show. So we learned that, you know, we cannot eat in the sanctuary, so we will need to serve in the not the multi-purpose, what do they call that room, the
fellowship hall.
Yes, thank you. So so that will create a bit of logistics in terms of what time we set up, what time do we eat, and when do we start the program. So now we have to sequence, because the run of show that we did yesterday was assuming you could eat in the room. So we could start right at 1. We can't do that now because you have to eat somewhere else. And because we're starting at 1, and if we were going to eat at the end, we either can eat at the beginning or the end because the food is somewhere else. So we need to discuss that, because that then will dictate the run of show when we start what features. So is there a sentiment for when? Yes, Mr. Herskin.
Hi, this is Shanita. So, I mean, my recommendation, I apologize, I won't be there Saturday because I'm traveling, but I think there was also an issue with the food being delivered.
No, we have delivery.
Well, earlier.
12:45, it'll be there before.
Yeah, 15 minutes is not adequate.
But we may not have access because the fellowship room is also being used by the...
Okay, so then my recommendation is going to make sense. So thank you for that point of clarification. So then I would recommend that the food be served after the event, because you don't want to break in between for people to eat, and that disrupts the program. So I would recommend food be served afterwards.
And at 3.
When it's over. So if it's over at 2:30, 2:45, but immediately after. And we did that for the one in Hayward at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we went 12 to 2, or maybe a little bit before
12 to 2. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and then people convened in the fellowship hall, and some stayed, you know, 45 minutes, an hour later to grab a plate and eat. So again, just to not disrupt the flow of the program, it's best that we serve after the event, is my recommendation, but it's up to everyone else.
Other perspectives? So the only thing I would add is that, you know, we're piggybacking on the chapter meeting before, and I think those folks are starting like at 10 a.m. and they usually go to 2, but they're stopping early to come to our event. So you may have a significant group who will be hungry. So they'll go straight from, and Leticia's on the line too. Yes, jump in. Anybody who knows the chapter and the sequence of their event, moving them into our event.
Right. Commissioner Berry here.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Commissioner Berry.
No, I'm calling on you. I'm calling on you as well. I will be there, but this will be my first visit to Berkeley Bay Area Chapter Source. So if you could share, are they serving refreshments at the chapter meeting, or are they relying on refreshments between by us?
They typically have light snacks. I don't believe that they, I would strongly infer that they're not awaiting snacks or food provided by this commission for their regular chapter meetings. There's typically light refreshments after chapter meeting anyway. And when we conducted the walkthrough with Patrina Alexander-Pertit, the chapter president, she pretty much walked us through like their layout, and in the back of the room they will have two tables for chapter refreshments that in fact we're more than happy to also use. I think it was, there were two tables also in that sort of the back area near the kitchen. So definitely, yeah, that won't be a problem. I'm also getting another message from another store saying, yes, no, our chapter will not be reliant on food being provided for the reparations community listening session. So I don't think we should plan for that. I do think the recommendation was when we conducted the walkthrough at Taylor Memorial to still utilize the fellowship hall. There is plenty of space in the kitchen area because they have a full industrial kitchen, and then they have a serving area, and you can even put food on a cart if you need to, you know, set it up. So as long as we have the caterer arrive at 12:45, we put forth a request to have a member from Berkeley Bay Area Alumni Chapter to be the lead contact to just show the caterer where to set everything up. There should be a seamless flow between the food and the start of the listening session. Yes.
Well, Commissioner Sass, I think the problem we run into is, you know, people being there at 1 and not eating till 3. So, right, and that leukemia warming is not that difficult because if you have the chafing dishes, right? But if there's no place to eat, if the fellowship hall is already taken, so even if we got the food there at 12, there's no place for anybody to actually eat.
There's none. They start in the morning in the fellowship.
Oh, they're done at 12:45. That's why I said
we need another clarification. When are they done, Leticia? Because if they're done, they're done at 12:30. If they're done earlier,
if they're done at 12, then we could have people come in and go through and eat. But if they're not done until 12:45, it's kind of senseless.
Let's say 12:15 for now. And I did put forth, thank you, a request to the chapter president to confirm with Commissioner Gore, Commissioner McClendon, Commissioner Berry, and also Commissioner Sass, we can include you in there. So if we can, I do think by tomorrow we should have a solid answer. I could even text her while we're on and provide you all an answer exactly when their meeting will be over. But definitely once their meeting is over, the agreement per our walkthrough with the pastor and the chapter president was that the understanding is that folks will be able to access the fellowship hall for eating, and there will be round tables in that venue.
Okay.
Because the first half, it's like theater style, the front of the room, the first half of the room, that room fits 500 people. So imagine facing front, the first half of that room will be utilized by Berkeley Bay Area Chapter for their meeting and such. The back of the room will be open. There's still tables. So, but let us confirm, just so we're clear, I think by tomorrow, if, you know, there's a 24 hour on it, that would be prudent. And I will text her right now to see if I can get an answer even sooner.
Commissioner Berry here. Thank you, Leticia. If you could ask, President Petrina, if you could send me her cell number as well, that'd be great.
Okay. So I'd like to welcome Commissioner Burleson to the meeting as well. Somebody help me sort this out. If they leave that room early, we have access and we can feed people, but we didn't tell them to arrive until 1. So opening the food early won't necessarily mean people will be there to get the food. So we still have a logistic issue on when to eat. Unless we do the end, then, you know, we could set it up and have it all ready to go. And then at 3 o'clock transition into, I just know even when we did OE, OE, OE,
EOYBC, we said we were going to eat at the end and people got hungry. And then Brendan got up and then we had the food in the room and people got hungry. So even in a, maybe because they could smell the food because we had barbecue, but it seems difficult to ask people to sit there for 2 hours at the lunchtime, and especially a crowd that's coming who had light refreshments. I'm reading cheese and crackers. I just am wanting to talk through the logistics with us so that we can set the time.
So this is Shanita again. So then the recommendation would be to start at 1:30 because I'm telling you right now it's going to be disruptive if you try to eat and then rally people together to come at 1 o'clock to start on time. So even if people arrive at 12:30, when people eat, they socialize, which is the intent to really have it afterwards. So, but if people are hungry, they're welcome to go into the fellowship room and eat, like take a break, but I wouldn't recommend, it's disrupting the program. That's all I'm recommending, to not disrupt the program. But again, it needs to be a unanimous decision and either eat before or after, unless we want to open it up for people to eat when they get hungry, like telling people you can go to the bathroom at any time. We have to make a decision though.
That's exactly right. That's why I'm having the discussion on the floor so that we could decide which way it start. And if it, the disadvantage of starting at one is you probably would give people 15, 20 minutes to eat and transition, which means we'd be starting the program late, which means we'd have shorter time to do the listening session. So now we've gone from a 2-hour listening session, and then we could talk about the presentations, to like 90 minutes. And if we did our regular programming, 90 minutes, 30 minutes for speaking, we'd have 1 hour for listening. So, yes, question?
No, it's for 4 questions. So
15. Yeah, and for 15 minutes a question. So then you get into the, okay, mm-hmm. If we're going to allow the eating from 1 to 1:30 by the time you transition and socialize, then it begs the question, should we have the program? Like, how could we then structure? But we got to make that first decision, because if we eat at the end, then we can do the thing as already timed out.
So should we vote?
I don't know.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to fix our LinkedIn page as we speak. This is Commissioner Varlack. My only thing is just kind of talking about what we already talked about, which is we have put paid promotions out as well as an ad I gave to budget and admin. We reached 16,000 people. Are we going to get 16,000 people? I don't think so, but 16,000 people did see that we're supposed to be starting at the time we said we were going to start at. So my only qualm with changing it is that it's sending a mixed message. But I'm not going to be there either, unfortunately. I have a conference I have to attend, but I want it to be successful.
Yeah, agree. Whatever we publish for time, we should stick with that to start and be on time.
I mean, technically, we would be starting. You just eat first. So we're still starting. You know, it's not like...
Well, I think the
friendly.
Sorry, this is Shanita. I think the friendly amendment was made because I recommended to start later to eat first, so that was why. But thank you.
And currently, we have 57 people registered.
And so the food's, Commissioner Small, the food's getting delivered at 12:45. I mean, that doesn't leave a whole lot of time to actually get set up. Okay.
I didn't know we'd have access to the room. I thought they were meeting till 12:45. So if they end at 12:15 or 12:30, we have access to the room. I just don't know what the chapter is going to do. I know. See, that's why this is what we've been doing all morning today. All morning today. We were like, let's just bring it to the commission. We can't see how we want to do it. We could call a vote. We could call a vote. Somebody make a motion. Not an official motion. Not an official motion. How many people?
Well, I mean, I think what Commissioner Herskin suggests is sort of how we should approach it. We need plan A, depending on what the deltas are able and willing to do in terms of sharing the space, and then a plan B, you know, so if they're able to like switch into the sanctuary for their meeting and we have the fellowship hall, for instance, then we just have the food there at the start of the meeting. But if they need the fellowship hall and we don't have the use of that space immediately, right, then we probably need to eat after, right?
I'm really confused. They are meeting in fellowship hall. We are the only ones using the sanctuary.
Okay.
Nobody
else
is using
it. That's correct. The chapel.
We get into the sanctuary at 12 and we will set it up. You know, the two tables, the screen, everything. We will do that in the sanctuary. That's fine. Sanctuary. That's fine. It's the fellowship room and the food. We can't take food into the sanctuary. So they will be in the fellowship hall. And to Letitia's point, but they're only in half of it. We have the whole back and we set up. But we can't get into the room because of the armed guard. No, what's it?
The sergeant in arms.
No, you got to respect the space. That's this. They conduct their meeting. So we can't crash their space. They literally won't let us crash. So that's why it's important that our meeting's over at 12:30. Boom, we can come in. If they're still meeting, we got to wait outside. Right, Letitia?
Chair Gore, no, that's just for the food, for the purpose of the food setup, the registration table, the setup in the chapel. You all will be in the chapel room that holds 75 people. Yep. You all will have access to that room even while they're meeting. Now, I wanted to confirm if it was, I don't know if Commissioner Berry or Commissioner Small, if you all remember what time the pastor and the pastor's assistant said that you all could get into the room. I'm not sure if it was 11:30 or noon, but you all will have access to set up around the fellowship hall. The question is, what time will the Deltas open the door to the fellowship hall so that you all can come in and food and fellowship and use that meeting room space? And I just called and I just left a voice message for Katrina, chapter president, and I will send you her number, Commissioner Berry. I just landed. Thank you. So that's what's at hand. I hope that provides clarity that you all will have access to the chapel, to the foyer area to set up. It's just a question of the food being allowed to the caterer to come in. And the other thing is, too, because we've had catered meals at chapter meetings before, too, and we basically need someone who is the point of contact for the caterer. So they will allow the caterer to come in and set up. So just please hang tight. I'm sorry we don't have this answered already, but we should have an answer very shortly around what time the fellowship hall doors will be open.
I have a quick question. How many Deltas are at the meeting?
Oh, it varies. It varies. I mean, anywhere from... It's hard to gauge because the last meeting they had quite a few. I was informed because there was a chapter picture. So you usually have at least 30 to 40. It looks like 30 to 50.
Would it be possible to ask if the Deltas could meet in the sanctuary and then we could pivot and set up and meet in the fellowship?
Commissioner
well, that was
Berry
the original
here.
Plan.
Commissioner Berry here. That was the original plan. And based on the walkthrough, that room, if you heard, holds about 500 people. We're going to have 50 people in that room. It did not feel conducive to the size of the event that we're planning to have. So we made a call that it would be better to have the chapel, which is a bit less large, so it didn't feel like we were five people sitting in a stadium. So that's how and why we got to the chapel. In terms of asking the Deltas to exchange space, we don't want to be out wearing our welcome before we walk into the church. So I would strongly advise against asking for another accommodation. They have reserved that space for the year, and we're essentially piggybacking, and they're covering costs. They've moved around. They're going to be available to help us with surveys. They will assign someone to grab food for us. So I don't know that we want to lean on them for any more last minute asks. What I will offer to my fellow commissioners is
As a Delta, I will be in that meeting, and I'm happy to be one of the people that steps out at 12:30 to greet the caterer and get them situated inside of Fellowship Hall, if that's helpful for our discussion tonight.
So let me go back. So there isn't an A and B scenario. It's but you're up against, the invitation said one. Even if we're serving early, people are not expected to arrive till one.
Commissioner Burleson here. I think that the best thing to do is to serve them after the meeting. You know, I think that that just makes sense. People are going to be coming up not to eat. They're going to be coming for the reparations hearing. So they probably done ate already. It's just like if it was a 6-hour day, right? And then they had a break, lunch, and then come back. So if we're only doing a 2-hour session, it would be just like a break, but it's over. And so people can eat, chat, you know, leave on that on those terms. It would be probably more better for the people that attended to eat before they leave, you know.
Yes, that option is on the table. We're just referencing the last event we had. We were going to eat at the end, and we didn't because people got hungry, and that was 12 to 2. Now we're 1 to 3. So I'm just sharing what happened at the last session where let's eat at the end.
When you say people got hungry, did somebody bring up food or something? You know what I mean? Because people's always going to be somebody hungry.
Brennan went.
Well, because someone said go and tell them go and start eating the food so we can have people go and eat.
Right.
Because it was a place where you can eat in.
Right.
And at having that at noon and having them able to snack while they're listening does actually promote them to listen a little bit more. But
I don't think it should go like that, though. I think that we should come there and have the meeting with the food served afterwards, and then that's a lot cleaner for everybody. You know, people coming in and focus, paying attention, and ain't a lot of stuff happening in between. People getting up, moving around, dropping stuff on the floor, and all that kind of stuff, you know, or whatever they're gonna do. I just think it makes more sense just to have the meeting and do it.
Okay, yeah. Let's take a straw poll, nothing official just yet, but a straw poll. Show of hands, no roll call. Thank you. Clerk of the board, no roll call. How many would like to have the meal at 3?
I'm raising my hand.
6. So that's a majority. There it is. So we will serve at the end. We'll still 12:45 is fine because we are under no pressure to set up the room and eat and all of that. Okay. So we'll start the program at 1 and we'll follow the rest of the program as in the minute show. Okay, thank you. Any other details that, because since we've now, the caterer has been ordered, we're building in time to do the surveys. It's a little bit more cushion to do the surveys. Supervisor Fortunua Bass will be there and will be speaking. And I think those are the latest updates that I have. Any other updates for the good of the order? Yes.
I just have a question. This is Commissioner Varlack. Is Mayor Lee, is her program going to be coming into our program, and is she coming to our program? Because I saw some kind of overlap.
We have invited. We have extended an invitation. There's a community cleanup / holiday kickoff at McClyman's, which is about 7-8 blocks away. They were invited, but there's been no formal acceptance. So hopefully their folks will flow into ours. We've been advertising the food and everything. So we're hoping they'll just come over from the climbers, walk a few blocks, come to our thing. But they can't eat till 3.
My understanding was they're going to be overlap, and that was the program. I didn't realize there was going to be overlap with the Deltas having the meeting there. So this is all kind of, let's just say, a surprise to me, the way it happened, even at the meeting on Tuesday last night, that was not intimated that the Deltas were meeting prior to this. So that's why I'm kind of taken aback.
Oh, Commissioner Sass, if I may through the chair, that's the meeting that we had with the Deltas. That's what we were talking about. We were talking about the setup and their plan at what time they were going to end their meeting, because basically they already had the church reserved.
That is correct. But the Deltas were never at our meeting. We had them invited them, so we didn't have that information firsthand because they didn't have the link at the first meeting. There was election at the second meeting, and they weren't at the last meeting. So all of this was not clearly put up for the.
Oh, got it. I was referring the first meeting that we all had with them, that Zoom meeting on that Monday. But these details, I mean, fair enough. It's been a lot of logistics and a lot of conversations, but absolutely, they meet at Taylor Memorial regularly, and they have that meeting space. And so they've been, you know, gracious enough to cover the cost for the facility. I think it's just a matter of working out these logistics. And again, those of us who participated in the walkthrough, we saw that room that is spacious and holds 500 people. There's also an echo chamber. And so there were a few logistics that we were considering, also like the set down, the setup, the breakdown in that room. It's really just like a massive, almost like warehouse shell of a space. But the chapel, you know, it'll be more intimate. It allows for 75 people. So once we get these details hammered out, it sounds like it'll be pretty seamless, just like, you know, the session you all had at EOIDC.
And I just want to lift up the reason we had it there was because the Deltas were so generous in piggybacking. And that's also why it started at 1, because we knew the meeting was before ours. And that's why we moved it from 12. And so that flyer has been out, I'm looking at Commissioner Varley, 3 weeks. So we knew the 1 o'clock, which meant we got pushed because of, so I'm just saying that's why the run of show becomes so important, right? Is everybody on the same page? Do we have the same thing? Are we saying the same thing? And then as we tick through it, all the facts start to, you know, shift or change. So I think we landed the plane. Thank you. And we'll just see what happens today. But we have the caterer and we have all the vendors. Larry also reached out to all the vendors, photography, video. Child care, I'm not sure, but the therapist is not coming. Is that the latest update? Do we have more after, update?
Well, I thought that the other therapist was coming. So, yeah, like, what did you find out? Because they don't offer to come and you said you didn't either.
Lena.
Yeah. They offered to come, but you messaged and told them that they weren't.
Go ahead, you want to tell them?
Commissioner McClendon. Lena offered, but she would have to rearrange her schedule to make it. And I didn't want her to rearrange everything to make the date.
Her communication was that she told us she could not come.
Yeah.
And now, 48 hours before, we felt it wasn't polite to ask her to rearrange her life, but rearrange that whole day.
Oh, I didn't see any communication. But Aaron, she did circle back and say she would try to make it. So you probably did see that email. Yep. So we have so many emails today. Yep. So. It's fine. I can email her. I can email her and see if she.
Is that the listening?
Commissioner, okay. Commissioner McClendon, I reached out to 2 child care facilities and asked them to connect with Aaron. I don't think that happened. They didn't CC me on it. So I'm not sure if we're going to have childcare.
Commissioner Berry here. How did the two young ladies from his Growing Grove do at EOYDC? Because I gave them all the dates when I asked them. Didn't know for sure if we would need them, but I did give them all the dates and say, hey, y'all, stay on standby in case we need you for the other dates.
They showed up. They just didn't have any kiddos to be with, but they were there and they were waiting in the gym for little ones to come. So they did what they were supposed to do for sure.
Okay. Commissioner Berry here. So I would suggest that if we want to have them available, I gave them all the dates from the website when we had them last time. And I'm pretty sure they're holding and just would need to hear from us if we want them back.
And we also gave them the info to get registered, to get paid, and they never gave it back to us. And we want to pay them. Gotcha. So if you get a connection back, ask them to fill out that paperwork so we can get them paid.
Okay.
Especially if they're going to do more sessions.
Okay, we'll do.
So let me make a point of distinction. The library staff does not follow up with our vendors. If a commissioner doesn't follow up with the vendors, they're not contacted. So when we say who, we're looking at each other. Who talked to babies? Who talked to therapists? Who's not them, and not EEC either. It has to be a commissioner who initiates the vendor contact and the terms. So if we're looking at each other and none of us in this room did it, that means nobody contacted them. So we have a bit of a gap in that it started with a listening session. You know, you all took the initiative and thank goodness you did. And now it's like, oh, we got a vendor who's talking. Somebody has to talk to the vendor every day. That's why Larry just does this, hey, vendors. And that's when we find out, no commissioners reached out to me. So we got to tighten that up within the listening session subcommittee and the admin to see who the point of contact for each vendor each time.
Commissioner McClendon. If you do contact the vendor, you can just hand them off to me. So from now on, you get.
But we got to assign.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna contact the vendors. If you put them in touch with me, Aaron and I have been tag teaming the vendors, payments, logistics, things like that. So if you do contact someone, just hand them off to me. Similar to Roderick's, right? That was a good handoff. He was happy to support figuring out the payment process and system, you know. So that's just send them to my way and I'll take care of it. So for the two young ladies, send them my way. I keep nudging them to get paid. We want people to get paid. Yeah.
And the key is whatever terms, if you negotiate an hourly rate, the number of hours, you have to hand that part off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is what we agreed to, like you were saying. They're open to come all the sessions. How much? How many hours? Because then that's when we also like, surprise invoice. They have to do that part and then hand it off, or you're willing to do that part as well?
Yeah, let me elaborate on that. So, Commissioner McClendon, if you do talk to a vendor and you already negotiate their rates, just let me know what that scope is. I'm going to ask them to put that in writing, right? And I'm going to look at the budget to see how much we have. If their hourly rate is at a rate in which it doesn't look like we can pay them for the duration of the listening sessions, I would be very transparent with what our balance is and if they can do it within our balance. If you, again, you know, just share it with me, I will work with them on it. Most of our vendors have reasonable rates. So thank you all for sourcing really good vendors who are committed to this mission. Just hand that information off to me. If they come to me without a scope and they didn't talk to you about hourly rate, I will talk to them about that and I will be trying to negotiate with them regarding the public dollars that we do have, just as a FYI. So.
Yeah, I think that we hopefully the listening session, and we'll update the run of show. I'm not sure who will do that, but if anybody looks at the run of show, let's update it based on what we said. Okay, go to the order. Anybody have anything left for the listening session for Saturday? Okay, well, we can always come back if something pops in. So, yes. Commissioner.
Apologies. I missed last night's meeting, so I'm curious if all of the commissioner speakers have been assigned. for Saturday.
Yes, the slides that you were doing before, you'll be doing. I think it's updated on the runner show that's in the SharePoint. So, and we have some updated slides. So we have to review that because we updated the slides. So none that would affect you or me.
I believe we've asked the library to bring extra copies of the run of the show because it's moving so much now and you can see what the script is.
One little thing for the good of the order, since I'm not going to be there. One thing we talked about in our data collection meetings is that we were hoping for a welcome table. I know the library has already had a welcome table set up, but if we can just confirm that we'll have surveys on the table or at least a QR code, as well as potentially our flyer, if we can get it out in time for our December listening session. So I know it's a heavy lift for the last 2 days, but if we could do that.
We have a registration table. We
do that. Perfect.
And we have we'll be printing out the most recent registration so that we check everybody in until it's
awesome.
Is set up.
Because we will add them to our contacts if we can get them to check in. So absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, so the next item seven here, where we're talking about now auxiliary and supplemental events to expand the listening sessions. And so the protocol, which is the form, you know, we were talking about that community partner correspondence and obtaining any submissions. So any commissioner who, you know, wants to do a pop-up event, or if you have a partner who wants, then you can submit the form, get the logistics, and we can start doing auxiliary events or supplemental events. So open up the floor.
Hi, this is Shanita. I know at one point we talked about doing a listening session virtually. So is that still an option or consideration?
Yep,
absolutely. We're going to talk about that next week on the planning commission meeting.
So this is, and the whole goal here is to get the survey out and more touch points with the community and just get the numbers way up.
Okay. Commissioner Berry here. Chair Gore, has the link for the form you just mentioned, like we need to fill out a form to recommend an additional session? Has that form been shared? Is it on SharePoint somewhere? How do I get access?
So that, remember we were talking about the community partner correspondence and the form creating and obtaining submissions. So if you've identified a community partner and you want a pop-up event, this is the form we use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you use that form, and then it'll, I think it has the questions, you know, when, who, what, whatever, well, the five W's.
So I have a question. This is Commissioner Barr. Like, would the potential listening session at Santa Rita Jail be within that?
That's right.
Purview? Okay. Exactly. Just want to double check.
Exactly. Before. Exactly. Okay. Any questions on item seven? Okay. Item eight. Moving the January, our meeting in January, to align with a wonderful reading session that Commissioner Sass will be doing.
Yeah, that one is, I'll running a little bit late. I'll be doing a reading at a bookstore in Fremont, Banter Books, on, Banter, that morning. And so the listening session, if it starts at noon, I'll still be there. I'll be, just coming a little, we don't have to do any changes for me for that. And that's January, what date is that?
Okay, my mistake. I thought we were recommending moving them, since it was a library or a library.
January 24th
was near there, so that we could host a commission meeting in the community.
It's too small of a venue to do that.
To have this many people. It's a commission meeting. Right?
Oh, the commission. Yeah, the January 24th commission meeting?
It was a Wednesday.
No, I'm doing a reading on the Saturday before the listening session. Right.
Oh, okay. Then this is an error on my part. Right. I thought you were requesting that we move the commission meeting.
Oh, no.
Okay. No worries. Then item number 9, review the budget variance report and reallocation. This is information. I will turn it over to Vice Chair McClendon.
I'm gonna let you keep this one so you can Commissioner McClendon, can I think I should have the ability to share my screen. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Joining as a panelist. All right, let's see what happens here. Boom. Is that too small? Yeah, and so you guys, so there was a printout of this kind of like a summary budget that you all should have. As a note, that in SharePoint, there's a document that goes to the tracking budget. It's a link. So when you open up the Word document, there's a link there that you all have access to, the public has access to. And when you click on that actual link, it will go to the full budget sheet, which I will walk all our my fellow commissioners through. And it's the most accurate update of our spending. And so that's how you, if you are curious about how much a line item has in it, if you're curious about where we're spending, if you're meeting with vendors and you want to negotiate a rate and you're concerned about if we have enough money, just go to SharePoint, click the link, or you can add it to your favorites and get to it very easily. But if you want to know about the money, I would say that that's the best way. I just want to highlight that for folks. I'm going to walk you through this first. It's the first tab of the actual budget sheet that I'm referencing. This is more of a simplified. I'm gonna go to the second tab that has more details about what we spent in that actual month, and then I'm gonna kind of talk us through kind of the budget recommendation, which on this screen it's column C. So you have your descriptions all the way to the left. You have the requested original amount. So we went to the Board of Supervisors with a dollar amount. And the Board of Supervisors was very generous. They rounded that all the way up to $500,000. As a commission, we never, and this is an informational item to be actionalized later, but as a commission, we never went back to itemize the additional dollars the Board of Supervisors gave us. So that's what you see in column C. Column C, the admin and budget team reviewed each line item and assign the additional dollars to a line item that can be changed based on this commission's input and suggestions. We assign those dollars based on areas of need, based on us getting to a place where we need to gather more surveys, do more outreach, for example, pop-ups, First Fridays, listen session at Santa Rita, et cetera. So we built a recommendation column for areas that we know that we're going to have to enhance in the future, which is more touch points throughout the entire county. And then in column D, you see what the total, so the requested original amount plus the recommendation amount equals a total budget. And then and then column E has the balance in which the dollar amounts that are left in that actual line item. And so that's this sheet that you're seeing here. And so as of right now, the Board of Supervisors approved a $500,000 budget. We have to go back and reallocate or itemize $193,570 to round it up to 500. As of today, based on the vendor invoices, what we have spent, facility, swag, and I will go over those details on what has been spent down. We have a balance of $397,405.17 as a balance. Based on the admin and budget's projections, if we don't ramp it up, we probably won't spend all of the dollars. So we will be looking for areas in which monies is spent to have deeper touch points throughout the county, including having people go out into the county and survey with tablets. We're also looking at Black Joy as a big touch point, given its largest attendance, committing to First Fridays all the way up until our report is due, and other touch points and pop-ups. You'll see there's a line item for pop-ups. So that vendor or that form that we were speaking about earlier, where if there's a touch point for a pop-up, we want you guys to feel free to do that. I'm going to do that as much as possible. There's a budget line item for that. And so our colleague, Alicia. Alicia is going to connect me with the Black Joy folks so we can become an official vendor. We've ordered a lot of swag, tents and things like that, tables and things like that, so we can have a strong presence. I'm going to give you a visual of some of the t-shirts and things like that that were mocked up. And First Fridays and other things that you all may have, jazz festivals. Just think about places we can have touch points. We have a budget to, cover help for that day to get surveys out, table and tent and things like that. All right. So with that being said, that the sheet in front of you has the simplified summary of where we're at to date. I'm going to just kind of walk you through the Excel sheet. So when you do get in it, you do kind of understand what the flow is. So that second tab is our actual budget tracker. And this one, I just zoom out so you can see what it looks like fully. And so this one has similar columns, but I have the actual total amount for per line item being tracked for invoices that are sent for that line item in that month. So we're tracking anything that's yellow is invoices that have come in and is either being processed or have been paid. And so you'll see I've plugged that and tracked that in. The library is doing a wonderful job about sending us the expense report. This is what the expense report looks like. So it's the actual invoices that come in from the vendors. And that's what I use to plug in this middle area here. And then we're tracking the balances here and to date. So this is the full kind of the first three tabs are the main budget trackers. The third tab is where I get the information from the actual finance team, from the library of what invoices came in, what was paid. The numbers are off just a little bit because we made audible today to decrease the food budget a bit. And so it's a little off. I'm going to go back and adjust it today or tonight when I get home. So these first three tabs are the most important related to the budget. The finance expense tab won't be updated until the Monday before our actual commission meeting. So if you're looking for changes or updates there, we're not going to pull that information to the Monday before we meet, and then we just update everything all the way until we get to our commission meeting. So this is a month view. Next month, it'd be a different view with more vendors and more invoices on it. I'm gonna pause for any questions before I talk about the swag that we're planning on ordering. I must be doing a good job tonight. Okay, there you go. Any tab?
No, just to ask you a little bit about the transcriber. I see that we had a very small budget. We have a very small expenditure. So is that something we need to grow, or that's already built in for what you talked about, getting a deeper touch point?
For so yeah, so for the transcriber, the note taker, I would I'd just be very transparent that that we had a note taker originally for the first meeting, charged like $600, something like that. Our second note taker did a wonderful job, did a lot of notes, but to the problem that we've already solved, no scope or limitations was given to that vendor, and she took the scope and she did amazing work, also gave the commission a discount, but it came up to $4,000 of time that she spent transcribing every single word. Now that information that she shared with us is in SharePoint and you could take a look at it, but it was every single syllable of every word that was spoken during that listening session. Again, we've solved for this, and the work and the Dr. Long's education and expertise is all respected. So it wasn't about haggling with a vendor about the time and their expertise, but it's about putting the guardrails in so it doesn't happen again. Our new transcriber and our new note taker met with Alicia, that we all know, Alicia Knight. And again, the vendor budget approach that I'm taking is being very transparent about what we have, what's the entire scope, and making sure that that vendor can operate within that scope. So we shouldn't run into that again. And that's all we have for transcribers. So to answer the question, that's all we have for note taking, and we have a note taker who's going to be able to operate within that budget. Go for it.
Hi, this is Shanita. So a couple of questions, actually. The first one, I see a line item here under description for survey and data analysis, and then there's another line item for data collection and analysis. So is there a difference kind of in the variance of those two line items? My other question is for the consultant tech support, that estimated amount, I mean, that's the largest portion of our budget. Was that, you know, based on a guesstimation, or we already had an idea for a vendor that would be the true cost for that?
Both
those lines are ECC.
It's just separated out.
And then data is a subcontractor underneath.
Okay.
Thank you. And then also to answer your question is that it's not a guesstimation. ECC has been using more time because they've been at each subcommittee, and they've also been doing additional time that wasn't necessarily built into the scope. ECE has also brought on additional staff to support us too. So it's an estimation based on how we are using ECE, ECC. So for whatever reason, our needs decrease, their hourly would decrease, but I don't foresee that. We're only using them more to help us organize, keep us going. And so this is an estimation based on our burn rate from human capital. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let me just put a little clarity around the contract for ECC has already gone to the board, and it's for the duration of the scope of work. So through the end of the commission's date right now. So it's billed according to that, and that was the agreed upon amount of work. And so it's not, that number will not change. That's set in stone and approved by the Board of Supervisors already. So.
Thanks for the point of clarification. And then you mentioned in some of the areas there may be a possibility to underspend. So if that were the case in terms of how we're trending with the spending in a category, and I think we talked about this in another meeting, would there be an opportunity to, I don't know if this is the right word, but reallocate or repurpose that into another area where we see we're trending, you know, towards the end? So just basically repurposing that versus underspending in a category.
Yeah, to answer that question, I don't see no reason why we wouldn't be able to move money between the line items. The Board of Supervisors approved each of these line items. I would say that we can't create a line item, but it, I think it should be good if we move money between each of the line items.
Thank you. And another point of clarification, the 193,000, the variance amount that trues it up to the 500, we have approved the 306, and we may or may not go back for the approval on the extra variance. But we want to see how the burn rate's going. So let's see, get through December and then maybe make a judgment call. Oh, we're underspending here. Then move stuff around and hopefully, you know, we'll get our legs underneath us. It would be hard for me. I've always been saying it at our admin to say we spent 500,000 and reached out to 200 people. We just have to get the numbers up. You know, we spent this money and we reached out. We got 5,000. Okay. But so that's why it's like, yeah, move some dollars around so we can get our engagement up in the areas. That's right. So absolutely, let's see how we do. Open it up, do some pop-ups, see if we get more traction. Okay, that's working. Let's allocate some money.
Absolutely. And then
especially if you have a really strong community partner.
Absolutely.
Who's promoting it with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Herstek, you also asked another question about the difference between line item 12, which is survey and data, and then line item 18. The biggest difference is that the survey line item 12, we're hoping to tap into those funds to get physical humans into the community. So that's a line item that we want to have a company or vendor start to, yep, hit the ground, tablets, asking people, wearing our t-shirts, things like that, you know, grocery stores, et cetera, you know, just like really having a deep touch point throughout the county, Castro Valley, things like that, right? So we're hoping to tap into line item 12 for that. And then the line item 18 is going to really be for the data collection, that online that you just mentioned, really pumping it out, getting people to come in. So those are the biggest differences there.
As far as line item 12, Commissioner Sass, why aren't we, are we ramping that up now? Connecting with people to get them out on the streets?
Yes, okay. Yep. And so, but before we started, like, again, even with the other stuff that we're gonna go over, before we started, we want to present to you. So you trans, so if you, you go in a grocery store and you see somebody with Alameda County Reparations t-shirt on, you're like,
wait, who's the commissioner in charge? Is that coming off of your group? Okay, so we haven't quite assigned the task or got any bids or quotes or anything like that.
Any other questions? All right. Wanted to flag this for you. Happy for any input. But Chair Gore and I wanted to make sure with this deeper touch point that we all have branding. I made sure that there's some triple X shirts here for us wider fellas and ladies. But we have all the different type of shirts, hats, canopies, tables, things like that. So when we are in community, we look good, we look right. Aaron, thank you so much. I'm not even sure the name of the graphic designer. Josh. So Josh, mocked up the canopies for us. So this will be swag, things that, you know, we can give out, hats and things.
We didn't order all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, just because we knew those are things that we needed to, you know, get printed. But all this other stuff is for you to review and give us the go ahead. But there's a line item for it. But this is the mock-up of those items that we can order. And then in the budget sheet, you'll see that there's other line items. There's another graphic that Aaron shared with me today. You know, these are the type of things that would be on tables, like the little flyer cards with the QR codes and things like that, so we can easily give out, interact with people. They can scan it, they can keep it moving. I'll let the library talk about the process.
love the swag and all the recommendations. So if we were to do the t-shirts, would it be possible to get the QR code smaller? So it's not like a Target.
That's the feedback we're looking for right now.
I would also say in lieu of QR code, also put maybe the website, because I had to start a website, and like I love the website, Commissioner Berry. This is not going against the website. It's just that it's hard for me to remember it. So I was thinking if we can get more things with the website address on it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
And this is the estimated order. So the library, the catalog that they have is very generous. The price point for these items are very generous, in my opinion. The shipping, it might be a little high, but for the most part, I think the cost is super reasonable. Given the massive order here, I mean, we're not even hitting 7K for all of those materials. So, but this is the tab down here. You can always leave a comment, just like, you know, I did and Chair Gore did, and say, oh, we should do this and that. But for the most part, this is the type of stuff that's going to ramp up our presence within the county.
Commissioner Burleson, question. So at the pop-up tables, or when we do the table, aside from, you know, being visible and you know, promotions with the swag and stuff, are we going to be, you know, having other agenda at the table? Like, are we going to be talking and sharing information with them? Or are we going to be doing like some type of surveys, asking questions, getting input, feedback? What we'll be doing at these tables?
Ideally, the primary goal is to collect information.
Period.
Like the Board of Supervisors needs to see a ton of surveys about the subject matter. And so the primary goal is to collect information, of course, share as much information as we can about our process, maybe other reparations related to the state or other counties. But primary goal is to get people to take that survey and give us feedback on our process.
Right. Now, in doing that, will we be allowed to, like, do the commissioners have to be the ones doing the tables exclusively, or can we have, you know, like partnerships with some local nonprofits, you know, who already have tables and various events going on, where they can add reparations to their table and maybe conduct some, you know, do some of the surveys without our being there?
That, both.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's that form we were talking about, where you partner. I mean, literally what we're doing this listening session coming up. We're partnering with a chapter meeting who has a venue and a place. So you can do that. If you know of a nonprofit that has an event next Friday, you submit the form, you get the survey.
Yeah, see, I think on that note, that should be an agenda in itself, where we're, you know, not if I know one and she know one, he know one. I mean, what we can do is just we get the list of all of the nonprofits that do work in the communities, you know, with the people and stuff, and ask them all, right, to participate in the reparations survey process.
Well, we're limited by the number of commissioners, and a commissioner has to initiate, and a commissioner has to go. We're not sending staff.
You have to be at the table.
Yeah, if you,
that's what I was asking.
Yeah,
earlier.
If you have a partnership,
right,
a commissioner is initiating and says, "I'm going because this is my partnership." We don't have staff to send. We can't send ECC. Right. We can't send the library. So if you as a commissioner raising your hand saying, "I'm going to this pop-up," then I'm going, but I'm partnering with the community who shows up at the table with
right.
me.
But let's say you got...
So you don't have
say,
to...
Let's say we got 25 organizations that agree.
How would you have 25 agree?
By contacting 25 different.
You, Jesse, contacted 25 people who said, let's just say
hypothetically,
Jesse,
let's just say I got 25, yes. Right? Hypothetically, yes. Right? I can't be at all of them, right?
Yes.
Are they able to take our information and go out without us physically being present with them as long as they're instructed properly? Can we be in 25 places at once? That's what I'm saying. Can we be in a community like that? And we're basically giving them the information. And let
the survey
go and
do
what needs to get done. Yeah, exactly. We don't have to necessarily physically go out with them every time, as long as they're doing what they're supposed to do as far as what we were talking about.
I think it's a great question, which we definitely can bring up on Wednesday at DAR, because that's something that we're working on specifically. Miss Iancoya isn't here, but she did actually prepare a community partnership kind of chart of people we can actually look to and say, hey, let's build together, let's share this info. So that is definitely a conversation starter and something I think that we can kind of build on and strengthen. And one other thing I wanted to mention is when we do go live with the non-in-person survey, it might be something as easy as dropping off a QR code to sit on the table. And then as long as we could control the collection, you know, maybe
that's where I was going to go. The integrity of the process, we'd want to tighten up, right? So that it's not being
done different ways, filled places,
in,
right?
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's some guardrails that the DAR committee has been looking at, like how do we make sure, you know, that it's our survey, that it got to our community. Like they're just, you know what I mean? There are just some integrity features that we got to make sure that it's not just being spammed out.
No. I'm saying, yeah. I mean, we're going to give them the information that they're going to use. Definitely. Right. That's what we're talking about. Right. But I think that the visibility, the looking at it from the promotional side, like a marketing thing, right? If we can be visible in the community, all over every organization that's serving the community got reparations on their desk, in their office spaces, when they go out and do their events, it's automatically a part of their material, right, during this period. You know what I mean? I think that that's something that's doable.
Well, we have been discussing at the DAR, so we'll let that subcommittee take your recommendation.
Yeah, and as you're looking at that, are you talking like having a canvassing company, you know, when they do elections, they have people that go out and do canvassing and talk that. Okay, great.
Yes, Commissioner.
I had a Commissioner Berry, a question about this, actually two questions about the swag. So question one is just the intended audience, right? Are we thinking this commission? Are we thinking of giveaways when we're out? Like, who's the intended audience for the swag? And then number two, has there been any discussion about selling swag? And if not, no follow-up, and if so, is that something you'd want built into our website? So those are my two questions: intended audience and sales.
I would be cautious about selling. I just you know, unintended UBI, unintended business income, which is taxable and you trigger all kinds of stuff. So I'd be cautious about being able to purchase swag on it.
I have a question on the swag for,
okay. Can I finish my thought though?
Okay.
Okay. So but who was intended, you know, the thinking was at the listening session. So we have three left. So folks come there, in particular, like cups and caps, you know, t-shirts, I think a little tougher. And then, you know, we can talk about if you're doing a community event, hey, can I take 20 cups? Can I take 10 caps? And then it depletes and then we refresh. But there's not like only these people get it. It's like, no, whoever's in the community, you think 20 people are going to show up? Take 20 caps, you know? Yeah. Okay. Thank
you. That was just my exact thing, giving it away at the sessions. I know you think t-shirts are difficult, but if you have enough t-shirts, and especially in the large and extra large, that's not really a problem.
But yeah, it's difficult when people are like, oh, you didn't have my size. And
yeah, but if you just
one but me.
Or no, if you just tell people you have large and extra large, and most of the time it's a free shirt, they'll give it to somebody else. It's okay. But I've
those are good sweat questions for sure. Okay. So that's
are there any other any other budget related questions?
Excellent.
Yes, on the website, I see that there's no requested budget on the line item there.
The original budget that went forward didn't have a dollar amount to it, but in the additional, recommended budget, we added a budget. Because between that time and this time, Commissioner Berry not only took the lead on the website, but commissioned a company to bring the website to life. And
that's the one we have right now.
That's the one we have right now. And they're giving us ongoing maintenance into the duration of our commission, which is pretty good. And we're still working out the scope. But we did add a budget for that after the fact.
Commissioner Dawn, your hand is raised.
With this particular,
can you close your mic?
Company.
Can you close the microphone?
Well, I was asking the question.
Oh, well, I was calling Commissioner Dawn. Commissioner Dawn, hand.
I had a question back on the budget. Forgive me for coming back to that. Line item 11. And I'm sure that there was discussion about it that I wasn't party to, but it just still, I think, given the conversation about trying to increase the participation, that line item just appears to me to be a little bit light. And I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but it just seems that there could be a little bit more, you know, in the way of videos, you know, the swag, the idea of, you know, having some people out there, you know, commissioning surveys and things like that, and maybe using the swag in that way. But what I was kind of looking at more was like a little more video production and a little bit more online social media presence with, you know, some type of content that we're putting out there to talk about our mission. So this just was, I thought maybe if there was any more thinking on that, then maybe I'm not party to the line item number 11.
Thank you, Commissioner Jones. This is Deb from the library. I just wanted to let people know that the amount that's been allocated by the Board of Supervisors is for the commission. So as the line items in our working budget for the commission is free to move through it. So if you see that money needs to be reallocated, like Deborah said, in the future, or as we go down the road a little bit farther and we say we need more of this, X, Y, and Z, you have the authority to do that. The way that the Board of Supervisors has approved this funding is with that intact. So I would caution or encourage you not to get too caught up in the weeds of this budget right now, because it is a fluid and a working budget.
And then Commissioner Downs, this is Commissioner McClendon.
Here.
I do want to add that we do have everything that you specified is sprinkled throughout this budget. We have the photographer, we have the videographer, we have audio. All of that stuff is being fed to our social media consultant, who is repurposing all of that to Deb's point from the library. That if we need more money in a different line item, we can move that money to that line item. I've, for the last 2 weeks, I went back and engaged with the vendors. I got their rates and their flow, and I've done estimates on making sure if we have enough money in a budget line item to carry them through our full commission. And it looks like we do at this point. The survey and data line item is a line item that DAR, once they figure out their full scope, I have a better understanding of what that total cost would be. And we're probably going to adjust that based on what DAR describes that service going to be and potential scopes and quotes from those vendors that we would work with in the future.
Commissioner Burleson, did you want to speak to another item? Did you? Okay. Okay, that was covered. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you for that. I'm very appreciative, Larry, that you itemized all of that you've allocated. We're tracking. We know what we're spending. We know what our burn rate is. We know what we can move money around. That is just such a helpful tool. I just want to acknowledge you today. Okay, so the next item, so this is a chunk of work coming out of the reporting, and much praise here to Commissioner Small. So it's on here listed as initial recommendations from the commissioners. So as you recall, and I don't think Michael's on, is he? Okay, can I get promoted? I want to share my screen. Okay, as you're informing change is doing our reporting and our data collection. And so Michael Arnold walked us through this presentation. Of course, those are we're grounding the reporting on the four pillars, right? The harms, the assets, the priorities, the needs and then our visioning. And then he gave us this timeline to work through. And in the, what we're trying to establish is the part here where we're trying to establish our vision and our recommendations to help guide the work. So in particular, he presented before that we had been really leaning into the conversation around harm, but that is not what we're doing. We are not creating a harm report. So Michael, we're not creating a harm report. We're trying to come up with our recommendations. Well, excuse me. We're trying to come up with a draft action plan, not firm recommendations. So, you know, we are not, he just asked that we clarify that we're not targeting a harms report. We're doing an action report. Okay. So what that means then is, so here's the planning and the reporting that we're doing now. And then they're doing a bunch of research on the harm and the policy research that'll shape the content. And in that second yellow bubble now, we need to gather at each commissioner's impressions of what you want to recommend. So then we were talking through how to do that. And so Chad had already, we had discussed, you know, sort of big categories to help guide the discussion. And where we're moving towards, and this is why I need to get an action, that the domain, what we're calling the domain, is like what basic categories should each commissioners be looking at to make some recommendations? And what are the basic tools? And we had landed on, and that's why we need a discussion, that the state task force already did this. Right, the state task force has 1,100 page report, 13 chapters. Just jump in here and correct me at any time, Commissioner Small. 13 chapters that have recommendations. So he was generous enough to lay that out in a big old Excel spreadsheet as a domain for you to like look, tick through this chapter. What does it say? Oh, I'm interested in that. And we're laying that against the five pillars of reparation, right? Restitution, satisfaction, non-repetition, compensation, and satisfaction, I think. And each commissioner, then, you can just populate it till your heart's content. So if, I know, Justin, I've had long conversations about land. And so he goes land, and then he's like, land as restitution, he would put in there, land as restitution. And everybody gets to submit your recommendations. And then what we'll do is informing change, and Leticia, jump in here at any time because you're the contractor. What we'll do with our initial impressions is say, what is surfacing for us? What are the four or five, you know, we hit every chapter, so 22 categories. But these six kept coming up for all the commissioners, which will start to solidify what our thinking is, which will help us, you know, sort of cull down this big universe we're looking at. So we're at this stage of doing the commission recommendations against the five reparations. And if we promoted you, could you share your Excel sheet? So I'm sorry to cold call, but you'll see. So the call to action would be, let me stop sharing it. If you could promote Shad. So the call to action is, how do y'all feel about that? How much time do you need? So those, because this is not a simple thing to say, you know, look at 12 chapters, 16 recommendations across, and hopefully you'll see a visual of it, that you, that we might need some, each commissioner may need some time to fill in how you want it to inform us. So, you know, is it a month, 2 months?
Well, I would say, in my opinion, that if you give us the information that we need first, you know, that should, that form and all that, and then we can actually come back with an idea of, oh, yeah, this will take me this. Because asking now, it's like, well, we don't know exactly how much we're looking at.
We're going to show you a template because we don't have the luxury to lose another month. Because if we say, look at it now and then come back in a month, because otherwise we'd have to call a special meeting, we will have lost December, and we're trying to guide the data and the shape with, you know, hopefully we could look at it over the next.
Right. I would say look at it now and look at it now. And if it needs more time, then we can address that.
So go ahead and share how you broke down. So this is fabulous. Can I just say, this is fabulous work, y'all.
So if you look at the state task force report, they have a whole raft of recommendations. And so I took that list, put it in a spreadsheet, and then, you know, the columns on the left-hand side tell you what subject area they pertain to, and then which chapter, larger chapter in the report you can refer back to that, provided the motivation for the recommendation. And then that, on the right-hand side, the second last column is sort of me taking a first pass of stuff that's actually under the Board of Supervisors' authority and prerogatives. And there are a fair number of things that simply aren't, you know, like repealing Proposition 209 is not something that they can do. If only that were so. And then there's also another column for notes, because I always have a column for notes.
So those are, you know, this is leveraging the state who has done, you know, how this is the domain, what we would call the domain, right? Because the state already done it. Now we're customizing it to the county, to Shad's point. And then, so you see education, environment, family, like it, and it's just meant as a tool to engage you to think, oh, do I really want to lift up, you know, family, or do I want to lift up cultural, intellectual? And then he's got the chapter, so then you could go read the chapter in the, which we have in the share drive. It's all in the share drive under state task. Well, this form is also under state task.
I don't see that category here under reparations. That's why.
It's go to the DAR subcommittee.
Thank you. Okay. It's under DAR. Okay.
It's under DAR.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
See, he's showing you right now. He's showing you right now. And then there's his list. Okay. Okay. Now let me promote mine now, Shad. So this is a bit of a tag team. Thank you, sir. So then if you were to, the domain, so now you've got a domain against chapters, but now you have the domain against the five pillar, the five principles of reparation. So that we just have to marry with Chad. So then you're saying, okay, and we're going to see if a majority of it shows up in compensation and restitution, focus. If some shows up in non-repetition, focus. So you can make your comment as a category of the principles. So that's the two domains. We're using the state task force and the extra one that I threw in there, which it's up to you all, is this budget. So this is the $4 billion county budget. And you can see how they spend their money. And this is also domain consideration right? You can pick something that, you know, we don't spend very much money in, but this just gives you reference to staying in the county jurisdiction. Does that make sense? So that's what the domain. So if you look at that flow chart, the domain, we want you to look at how the state did it. We want you to look at the principles and then perhaps consider the budget dollars, which can be considered or not, but just, you know, where you spend the money, usually it tells you what your values and principles are. Have you ever done budget work? So this is the tool. Let's turn the screens off. Let's have a conversation. Hands are raised. Can we raise our hands up? Because they have.
I'm just going to make a comment on what you had just said. Where you spend the money is where your priorities are. But if we're looking at where we should spend the money, that would change the priorities.
Commissioners, at the end of the
table. I'm just trying to understand the ask and the time frame. So if I understand the ask is for us to go through
whichever ones you feel are important to you. Just you, like I care about family and children, then you do family and children. Pick the ones that you believe should be our focus. Oh, and then let's go to Commissioner in the room, and then we'll do a Commissioner online. Go.
Okay. Commissioner Berry, Commissioner Shett, that is amazing work. Thank you for doing that for us. I've been trying to get through that content forever. I just want to shout you out right now. That is super helpful for us, y'all. That is a lot of work. So thank you. My question is regarding the fiscal domain that you had up, Deb. Mm-hmm. Was that 4 million with an M or 4 billion with a B?
B.
Billion. That's
so that, okay. That, okay, so I took that off the website.
Okay. Okay.
Either way, are the percentages right? 26, 20, yeah, the percentages are, okay, we're distracted, but finish your question. Was the dollar.
Well, the reason I asked is because I understood the county budget to be larger, so I'm like, what is. It looked like it said million. So is this a subset? But you're saying that it should read 6 billion.
No, it is. It's okay. So 4.6 billion, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So
No, I get it now. Yeah. Thank you.
The millions represent billions. Okay. Commissioner Domes online.
So thank you very much, Commissioner Domes here. If what we'd like to weigh in on doesn't fit neatly in one of these, is there any thinking about how you would have that covered? Is there anything you could recommend? And I could get more specific if necessary, but.
I think we could easily add an other. And then you can write in what you would like that to be.
Okay. I think one of the consequences of my unexpected acceleration in travel, by the way, I'm here, I'm here in Rome now, so it's 4:56 in the morning, I think, one of the things that I've been very passionate about is including the fact that there's a severe impact on the county budget on the cost to all taxpayers because of some of these intractable, vestiges of slavery and ongoing discrimination. And if you look at it from the standpoint of public safety and just a whole realm of those things, you'll see that foundationally, raising the awareness of taxpayers of every color of how much they're having to spend and how much their personal wealth is impacted by these things, that it just would seem to complete, the process and provide and arm the Board of Supervisors with, defensible rationale beyond, just the fact that harm was done, which we all know, and harm is ongoing. So again, that would be the area I would look to go to. And unfortunately, it would probably, or maybe fortunately, it probably would need to fall into some other type of box. And in fact, I think I've already submitted about 30 pages on that subject that I just talked about.
That's right. I did read your white paper, and I agree. You could put it in the in other and define it as you see appropriate. I also, if I was doing it, I would take that white paper. I'm like, oh, this is Alan's talking about restitution, business. Alan's talking about compensation, homeownership. You know what I mean? I would argue that you almost could fill up every box as opposed to an other. It's in 22 different boxes. But anyways, that I would just offer that. But I think ultimately we should have an other because, you know, the state did try to catch every single aspect of, Black American life.
Yeah. And all those things are there. The other would just be the fact that all taxpayers are paying a tremendous cost, and that any reparations, if properly done, which I'm sure this commission will see to it, that happens, will pay dividends to the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's real, but that's often not, that argument isn't made. When people start looking at it, it becomes pretty clear. The numbers are staggering in favor of dividends that could be paid based on the investment of what we're talking about achieving through reparations. Anyway, I'll just kind of leave it there. And come back.
Thank you. So you could populate it either way. We could make that accommodation. Yes. Other thoughts on, I think really what it comes down to is timing. How much time would the commission want? Maybe we do a first pass, because maybe when you're doing it, a bunch of questions may come up, and then to talk about the questions. And then it's due. We just got to give ourselves some guardrails and some guideposts. You know what I mean? We just need some help. It's just right now we're just looking at the universe. So how do folks feel about, because I feel like the tool is done.
I mean, the tool exists, but I mean, I didn't go through every single line and figure out which things, you know, apply at the county level.
Yeah, and you cited the chapter. So if you want more, just go read the chapter that it's in. A person, you know, if a person's like, could read the chapter.
Reading
so
is fundamental.
You don't need to have everything in there. Yeah, for sure.
I guess I can just chime in with our vision. So for DAR, I know that we're going to be kind of working through Shad's framework alongside Deborah's framework to kind of build out some of the harms and how to fix it. So the first thing we're going to be looking at is wealth. In how it was taken. And so I think that maybe one thing for the DAR committee is maybe we can have homework to come back for our next full commission meeting and kind of maybe share some of our guidelines that we come up with, assuming we come up with some, and ways that we approached kind of putting resolutions in different boxes.
So I'm going to push back on that a little bit in that I think people should have their own fresh thinking. Okay. I think it shouldn't be influenced. It shouldn't be, right? Y'all, you know what your experience and your community experience has been like. This is no guidance. It's like, what do you as a commissioner want to put in and then see where we land as a group? So you guys can keep doing your work. Parallel, but don't influence it. We need that first pass. You know, we just need that first pass of where folks are. Yes, I see Letitia's hand is up. Oops. Oh, hold on. We're not hearing you in the room. Hang on. Even though you're unmuted. Try again. Nope. I'm staring at Tisa. We're trying to figure it out. Hang on, Letitia. We're trying to figure it out.
Hear me now? Hello?
There you go.
Okay. Sorry, I was on headset. Yeah, I was just trying to think of a process kind of like to streamline the workflow around that. So could it be that maybe allowing commissioners the opportunity to fill out the form, maybe in their subcommittee meetings, make it an agenda item, and just submit one or as many that that commissioners can complete, submit those to maybe SharePoint or to, I'm just trying to think, maybe get them to the DAR subcommittee so that DAR can look at the feedback from the full commission. And then you all have a discussion in December, like share that information. It's still gonna be group brainstorm, because in an ideal world, you all really would have like time and space, maybe at least a good 2 to 3 hours to really go through these recommendations, do like a think, pair, share out loud, get some, you know, chart paper up and have, you know, walk out with here are, you know, the high level best thinking from the commission, but we're running up against the time clock to have the information to the writing team. So I'm just trying to think about how to support Chair Gore, what you're saying, but also what it sounds like the commissioners are wanting is just more time to have more clarity around how to use the tools that have been developed. And so what is a good process for that, you know, communication flow? So I'm offering on the table for you all to consider having the discussion at each of the subcommittees and putting a deadline on when the forms should be gathered to be reviewed, you know, by the DAR subcommittee and by the writing team in forming change.
Commissioner Sass, I think that's just too much. I would say let's take the holiday because Thanksgiving's coming up. Take some time and write out what you think and feel and move forward, and then we can see if we need to adjust. You know, I think that would be a way to go, okay, you know, this is an assignment I have to do. We're having some time, downtime coming up. Let's take some time aside and write what we're feeling.
I'm in the camp of everybody really independently. So the first question though is there clarity on the tool? Like, do we need to meet to sort of say, I don't understand the tool, or is the tool self-explanatory? Y'all read a chapter, you look at the thing. Cause I kind of heard that part. Like people want to maybe get together and say, I don't understand that section. What'd you think it meant? But if the tool is good and if it's clear, we can go to start filling it in. But if the tool is not, then we do need that process in there to say, tighten the tool up or do something else. So step one for me, is the tool okay? Or do people want to modify it, adjust it in any way? Because that's where your subcommittee could help with the process.
I can't answer that until I go through it. I have to
that's
get
what I was going
to
say.
I feel like I'm not informed enough to answer.
So could we have just a section in the SharePoint saying questions, answers, and feedback about the assignment and the tool in the SharePoint so someone can drop something in there? So that's a place to really put all.
But to Letitia's point, if we wait another month to answer all those questions, could the questions be answered in the subcommittee? Because that meets every week. Like, we're trying to keep the train on time.
I'm not saying wait a month to do it. If there's Q&A in there and we all at some point, everybody like you're, who's ever leading a subcommittee, look at this and say, oh, these are questions, or Shad might be able to answer, oh, this was over here or whatever. But if we don't know what we're asking, we can't really figure out where we should meet and get the answers. I don't think we need another month. If people start looking at it, they may have questions or they may not. But until we see it, if we have a spot to say, hey, Q&A, and if there's like 30 people saying, you know, point A is questioning for me, then we can address that.
You can't address, you can only address through SharePoint without triggering Brown Act. So that means somebody would have to read all those Q&As and answer them all virtual. Yeah. Otherwise, we trigger brownout.
But you're expecting there to be a lot of questions. And if there is a lot of questions, then we could move forward and say, we need to meet and answer this. If there's not, people can keep reading and move forward.
I to facilitate the process, we could say, like, everybody take 2 weeks, digest it, and then go to subcommittee. Because otherwise, you're right. So then you're like, okay, the subcommittees at least are vetting through the group. Hey, we had three common questions. We answered it on the other stuff, but we have three common questions. Then at least things are happening a lot faster.
We're actually saying the same thing.
Well, I didn't hear you say it goes to the subcommittee.
I didn't know. And I said we could all come back in the committees and say that.
In the committees.
So okay. We're saying the same thing.
Letitia?
Yeah, no, I just want a point of clarification. Is it having a Q&A document in SharePoint that would be helpful, or is it a FAQ, a frequently asked questions, that just outlines, here are the instructions and the steps for completing the tools. Here are some questions that may come up. I just want to clarify, Commissioner Sass, what you're asking for.
You're jumping a little bit ahead.
Yeah, you're way ahead.
It's a matter of, are there questions?
So I don't understand
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, here are questions.
Oh, these got are it. Questions. Okay.
Then we have a FAQ if we need it, but you're far ahead. It's like,
you're way ahead.
Do we understand it?
Do we?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Is it useful?
Okay.
Because people may get in there and say, we don't like it.
Oh, I see. About the tool specifically. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys, it's late. I feel bad. Okay. So can we at least have people vet the tool?
Yeah.
And let's see, to your point, after Thanksgiving, so when the subcommittees meet, that first December date, somebody pull up a calendar, could the subcommittees all comment on the tool?
Yes.
So the worksheet that you showed after we saw the spreadsheet, like, where is that?
Yeah.
Where do we find that?
We have to upload yours married to a domain thing. Like, there were two separate documents.
Just a folder.
We don't. With the we don't have messages. Your whole chapter thing with the reparations across the top. You did with the principles of reparations.
Right.
So we just need to marry those two. That document doesn't exist. So if the subcommittees could meet, December 1st is literally a Monday. If the subcommittee, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday meetings, and everybody have a cut at it, commissioners, with your questions, or, hey, I was able to fill in my first 60 recommendations. I don't know how many we're going to get. That'd be great. Can I get a motion to use the form? The form will be put on SharePoint. That means people got to go to SharePoint. You could always ask your subcommittee if you know how to get to it. And then the subcommittees will meet the week of December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd to comment on the tool.
I so move that we meet the...
Moved by Commissioner Sass. Second. Can I do a roll call?
Commissioner Burleson? Commissioner Berry?
Aye.
Commissioner Herskin?
Oh, I said aye.
Commissioner Knowles? Commissioner Sass?
Aye.
Commissioner McClendon?
Aye.
Commissioner Varlack?
Aye.
Commissioner Small?
Abstain.
Chair Gore?
Aye.
Commissioner Gardner?
Aye.
Commissioner Dones?
Aye.
Approved.
The last item would go really quickly. We're trying to set up an ad hoc committee meeting, and I just would implore you all to try to attend. So as soon as we pick that date, it's great that Larry and I go, but I really want everybody else to come. That's the last item. Except, excuse me, Commissioner Barry.
Thank you, Chair Gore. I just want to circle back with a little bit of information.
Patrina from Berkeley Bay Area Chapter Delta Sigma Theta Sorority confirmed that we can access the chapel for setup as early as 11:30 a.m. Also, our caterer can enter for setup of the food at 12:45.
Okay, so that part.
Okay, and she agreed it might be better to have the food at the end of the program or 3 o'clock.
Okay, okay, okay. We got it. So, run the show, stays the same, meeting adjourned.
Thank you.